This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto.
It seems kind of strange, but there are still offices, there are shop floors where people smoke. And as of July 5th, that is prohibited in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin Governor Jim Doyle in La Crosse this afternoon, kicking off an early celebration of Wisconsin's upcoming statewide smoking ban in the workplace law.
And it means that every single person can go to work and work in a smoke-free environment. That's a tremendous step forward, and that's what this law is all about.
Wisconsin's new smoke-free workplace law begins next Monday, and it'll take some getting used to, especially for smokers and business owners. But as we'll learn in this hour, its impact will reach further than one might imagine, certainly beyond taverns and restaurants, as typically comes to mind. Just across the river, Minnesota has been living with a similar smoking ban for the past 3 years. Like Wisconsin, restaurant and tavern owners raised the loudest complaints initially, but as Steve Rysom found out, at least one area establishment is finding that business actually improved.
It's happy hour at the Crescent Inn in La Crescent. There are 7 customers at the bar. The TV's on, but it's quiet enough for conversation.
The smoking thing actually helped us, believe it or not. Well, because we have a very poorly ventilated building. Even people that smoked in here, I mean, it would just be blue, you know. And people that smoked would, you know, it bothered them.
Tina Goodspeed has owned the Crescent Inn for over 5 years. She has good perspective on what business was like before Minnesota's workplace smoking ban went into effect. Goodspeed works behind the bar, serving beer and taking food orders. She says the Crescent Inn gained more than it lost.
We do a lot of food, and our food numbers have improved tremendously because people bring their families in here now. It's almost turned into more of a restaurant than a bar.
Goodspeed doesn't think she's lost more than a couple of customers over having to smoke outside in the 3 years the law has been in place. Kylie Furlong is a 31-year-old banker. She considers herself a light smoker with a 5 or 6 cigarette a day habit. She says the Crescent Inn has accommodated her habit reasonably well. There's an old bus depot in the back to keep smokers out of the rain. A heater keeps the back patio warm for smokers when it's chilly out.
I like it better, actually, because I don't go home smelling like smoke like I would if I was, like, standing in a bar drinking and smoking all night. You really reek, and I guess being a smoker, I don't notice it as much, but my husband does as a non-smoker, so I guess I got used to not just totally reeking.
At the bar next door, 42-year-old Navy vet Julie Miller lights up outside the American Legion. The mother of a 3-year-old supports Minnesota's smoking ban, and she's more than happy to take her habit outside.
I think it's a positive thing that they're going to no smoking in public places, and it's better for the environment inside for other people, and it's more refreshing when you walk into a place and it's not filled with smoke.
According to a survey by the Minnesota Institute of Public Health, 76% of the respondents supported the ban 3 months after it went into effect. Carrie Gordon is a spokeswoman with a nonprofit anti-tobacco group, Clearway Minnesota.
What we saw was those bar owners or restaurant owners who were open to the change, who saw it as an opportunity maybe to slap up a fresh coat of paint and change their menu a bit, update their menu, really experience the transition much more successfully than perhaps a bar owner who didn't want to change at all and just kind of grumbled their way through the transition.
Different businesses were impacted in different ways. That's according to Ken Rockler of the Tavern League of Minnesota. For example, he says bowling alleys that serve pizza to kids did better than businesses whose bread and butter is selling adult beverages. Rockler estimates Minnesota's smoking ban has hurt the bottom line of hundreds of liquor establishments.
There actually are places that tell me that they are doing a little bit better in certain aspects, but the overwhelming statistics have been bad, and they were bad long before the recession word was being used.
Since Minnesota gave communities the right to issue local smoking bans before the statewide ban in 2007, Rockler, as well as the Minnesota Department of Health, say it's difficult to calculate the impact of the statewide ban. To date, there have been no findings released of any studies that would measure the impact Minnesota's statewide smoking ban has had on businesses. Steve Rysom, Wisconsin Public Radio.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Public health officials have been leading advocates of kicking the smoking habit and have spent years championing a smoke-free building law in Wisconsin. Mary Meehan Stroob sat down with La Crosse County Health Department health educator Paula Silla to talk about specifics of the law, including details of just where someone can smoke in the state of Wisconsin when the law takes effect July 5th.
Outdoor areas are generally not regulated. I mean, a private business owner can say they want their outdoor patio or beer garden to be smoke-free, but outdoor areas are generally not regulated at this point. So also smoking is not regulated in private homes as well. And so we're not looking at regulating smoking in those private places or in outdoor areas.
So with the new law, are you expecting businesses to not comply with it?
I think what we're doing, we're talking about all these kinds of things to educate businesses for compliance. We expect that, there will be a few wrinkles, as there generally always are with new and different things that come along. But there have been 27 other states that have passed smoke-free workplace language. This isn't new in the United States. It isn't even new in a lot of communities in Wisconsin, but it will be new for some. And so we're saying we expect that people will comply. The other thing I think it's real important to stress is that when it passed, over 70% of the population was in favor of it. What we've heard from other national experts is that by the time it goes into effect, 90% of the people will be looking forward to it. And so these are very often these laws, these smoke-free workplace laws, are self-enforcing. People will expect to follow them. And if the signage is well placed and large enough for people to see, people who smoke don't want to not comply either. They want to do the right thing and not expose other people to their smoke. They might choose to continue to smoke. They just will have to know where is acceptable places to go to do that.
That's one of the keys. It doesn't take away a person's right to smoke.
No.
It's just the location that
the location of smoking, and that has to do with, if I'm a smoker, I can choose to continue to smoke. I'm harming my own health, which I probably know because it's not, it's well known that smoking is harmful to your own health. However, it's the protecting of other people, and that's why this is really a public health issue. Secondhand smoke is a very real health hazard to other people, and I think that we can't forget that's why this law was passed. The science is very clear and very strong that says it doesn't take much exposure. Just 5 minutes of exposure can make the coronary arteries work harder and can make the platelets sticky and so lead to increased clots. And anyone who knows anyone who's had a heart condition and who's talked to a cardiologist will know that they need to avoid exposure. So, I mean, that's a very real sense of someone who knows they have a health issue. But you and I and our family members who don't have any heart issues, we can have those health effects as well. And I think we finally reached the tipping point with legislators that they were saying, yeah, this is a real issue. 27 other states are doing this. We can do this in Wisconsin as well.
Are taverns allowed to have outdoor smoking areas?
Well, the law does allow smoking in outdoor areas. But what I would encourage the tavern owner to look at would be where their licensed business or whether they're licensed to conduct business. The city of La Crosse is pretty specific about beer gardens, so it's something to check with your city clerk about. If you're licensed to conduct business in an outdoor area, then I don't think there's an issue. But if you've never had a license that went beyond your building proper, then I think you probably want to give the clerk a call. I don't think there's any issue or any problem with someone going outside to smoke. It's just, are they going to be able to take their beverage, alcoholic beverage, with them or not? And that's the question that I think should be talked about so that we're set up for success and not for problems.
I know that taverns and bars, restaurants, even bowling alleys have always been at the center of the discussion about whether you would be able to smoke there or not. But are there other businesses that will be impacted by this new law?
Everyone who has a work site is impacted by this law. I think it's real interesting to see that we have bowling alleys in the city of La Crosse that are going smoke-free early. We're not picking on bars and restaurants and bowling alleys. This is about all work sites. So it might be a small office. I can think about being in the village of West Salem a couple years ago and dropping some materials off at a work site, and it was an attorney's office, and it was as smoky as could be, and I just felt so bad for the receptionist who was working in that office. That office needs to be smoke-free as of July 5th. I think about, you know, dental offices, yeah, they're probably all smoke-free already, but grocery stores still have had smoking lounges for their employees.
I'm thinking at two ends of the spectrum here. What about daycares and, say, nursing homes?
Yeah, well, daycares have been smoke-free indoors for a number of years. There was a state law that was passed a few years ago, but now this law has some specific language related to, I think, outdoor areas of daycare centers and outside of daycare center when children are present. So the staff, if they need to have a smoke, can't do it when the children are present. Mm-hmm. And so that changes things up a little bit as well. And then nursing homes and hospitals or recovery centers. I know Cooley Council is going to be smoke-free. That means all the AA meetings and those kinds of things are going to be smoke-free as well. And nursing homes have been going smoke-free, as have hospitals over the last couple of years. The Wisconsin Hospital Association did a study and found that, you know, a lot of the hospitals were going smoke-free within the last couple of years. Locally, Gunnarsson Lutheran and Franciscan Skemp and all of their partner clinics and hospitals adopted smoke-free policy, I think, in 2008 or early 2009, as well as smoke-free campuses. So that's their property as well. Some nursing homes, when I've been out and about in Trempealeau and Buffalo County, still have nursing homes. They still have had some smoking rooms in those nursing homes. And La Crosse County has Lakeview Health Care Center, which has had smoking indoors for some residents. They had a small room where residents could go and smoke. They're going to be going smoke-free as of July 5th as well. And, I mean, there's a health promoting reason associated with that as well, and yet people will argue and say, well, yeah, but this 80-year-old person has been smoking for 40 years, you know, but there's a health-related issue in that related to the staff who need to go in the room and clean the room and other residents who are exposed to it, and also there's always a benefit to quitting smoking no matter how old you are, and they'll need to go outside to smoke as well. If they need assistance to smoke, which is the case sometimes at Lakeview Health Center, I know that they're looking at how they're going to provide assistance. Or if nicotine replacement is something that these residents will need instead. And so I know the medical directors are talking about what kind of assistance might be needed for residents who are saying, you know, fine, they're ready to quit as well. Or maybe they're not, and what would be available to help them with that nicotine craving and withdrawal that they have.
So who's going to police this new law?
One of the first things that worksite managers and owners need to do is set themselves up for success, for compliance. And so the law requires that they post signage to let their employees and their customers or clientele know that they're smoke-free. They also need to not have ashtrays in the facility, if it's a restaurant or a bar, or in a worksite in an employee lounge, remove those ashtrays. They also need to not provide materials like lighters and matches that encourage smoking. And then they also need to remind their employees and staff and customers that we are now smoke-free. So if someone's smoking in a worksite, the person in charge, it's their job or their designated person that they designate to remind people that we now smoke outside and the designated smoking area is outside. And then law enforcement can get involved.
What if somebody doesn't comply with the law? What are the penalties there?
Well, the law includes fines that can be levied against the business manager if they aren't set up for compliance, and then also the person violating. And I think the fine for the business manager can be $100, mm-hmm. and then the individual who smokes can be fined between $100 and $250. And what I'm learning about this is that local court costs can be attached to that. So I think in the city of La Crosse, that would make the fine structure close to $165. With the local court costs added to it. In the county of La Crosse, that might be different, but those court costs can be added to that fine of $100 or up to $250.
Does the state law supersede the city law or vice versa?
Well, local municipalities can adopt the statute, and then they can keep the fines locally. Otherwise, this state law covers all municipalities. There's not the opt-out clause that we talk about sometimes in Wisconsin legislature with home rule. I think that has to do with why we pass city ordinances first and then we go to the county. But this state law covers all municipalities. They can't opt out. They can opt in and keep the fines. And we have some municipalities in the 7-county health initiative, a tobacco coalition region that we're working with, who are thinking about that because they're looking in this tight budget time anyway of collecting money. We're telling them it probably won't be a lot of local fines collected because other state experience has said, oh, there'll be a few, but it's not going to be a lot because most people will comply.
There has been some talk about potential loopholes here, not necessarily breaking the law, but a way possibly around it. And it relates to something about definition of walls and windows. So what's considered to be indoors when you're talking about this?
Well, when the law first started, they had substantial walls with less than 50% of the wall space being a window. And then in May, in the legislature's infinite wisdom, and I say that tongue-in-cheek, they made that window opening 25%. And so if you look at a wall, and if it's 25% is a window, that is considered to be a substantial wall. And so what I call people back to, I suppose there's a way to skirt around this, but if we look back to the real intent of this law, which is to protect the public from secondhand smoke exposure, to protect employees who are working in a facility from secondhand smoke exposure, then I would question the need to have to have shady areas where people can smoke. Granted, no one who smokes wants to be out in 7 below winter weather having a cigarette or being rained or snowed on in Wisconsin. But the intent here is that it's more important for people to have healthy indoor work environments than it is for people to continue to smoke indoors. And so, that's what our legislature has said. I think if people have questions about that 25%, they can probably connect with us at the health department and we'll help them to define what that really is. Building inspectors will also be getting involved as facilities look at building things and how enclosed they can be. But the idea here is the intent of the law is to protect the public from secondhand smoke, and we're really encouraging, business owners to look at doing that. Incidentally, lots of managers and business owners, bar and restaurant owners, have been looking forward to this. They just didn't want to be the bad guys locally. And so I think that that's probably more of what we're seeing is we can't wait. We know from various health studies that have been done in Madison and Appleton, which were the two leading communities in our state that went smoke-free, that bartender health improves and employee health improves. And we also know that smoke-free workplaces prevent kids from starting to smoke, and they also help people to quit. And we really think this will help people who are thinking about quitting anyway.
Throughout our conversation, you've talked about health benefits and in terms of secondhand smoke and that. But in general, what health benefits will result because of the new law?
Well, I think it'll be really interesting to look at in Wisconsin what we experience in decrease in health care costs. And I say that because there have been a number of studies that were done. I think it was the Institute of Medicine has looked at studies that were done in Helena, Montana, and Pueblo, Colorado, and Ireland, New York City. I mean, almost every state that has adopted smoke-free workplaces has seen a drop in heart attacks and coronary incidents. And that can translate into real dollars and cents savings. And I think that's the cool thing to look at, because if it saves us money in health care, and with the new health care reform that will be, rolling out, wow, this could really have an impact on health care in Wisconsin for employers, for Medicaid, public-sponsored health care programs. It could really have an impact. So that's heart attack or heart disease-related health care savings. I think when you look at lung health, granted, that's one of the first things that people think of is lung cancer, but not everybody who smokes gets lung cancer. There are other kinds of cancer that are linked to cigarette smoking as well. But then all other kinds of lung health things, it might be allergies, it might be asthma, it might be trips to the doctor because of watery eyes or bronchitis or whatever it might be. There are some very real health care cost savings I think that we could see. And I think that's one of the things that excites me about this is, gosh, in Wisconsin, we are doing something proactive related to this. Yes, I know that tobacco is a legal product and that people still have the right to smoke. And will we see a big drop in people who smoke? We'll see. I mean, I'm sure there are some people who are going to dig their heels in and they're going to smoke just because they want to defy this kind of thing. But at the same point, look at the benefits to our society as a whole. I mean, I think, you know, cleaning costs and all of those kinds of things may be decreased for work sites as well. But overall, you know, it's a public health issue. There's real science behind why secondhand smoke is hazardous. And then also, it just sets such a standard for our young people as well to not pick up this this addiction, and also for us to help people who have it to quit.
When I think of smoking, I think of it as being a behavioral change. Is there any evidence that the law will result in more people stopping smoking?
I mean, I don't know that there is a percentage that I've read, but I certainly know that, you know, in communities who adopt this policy, we see people trying to quit, and it just makes their lives easier in lots of different ways. Smoke-free work sites are linked with a small increase in people trying to quit and less people smoking at a work site. I mean, it's just the culture change, and I think we're ready for this in Wisconsin.
Is there any more help available for smoking cessation within this seven-county region that you work with?
Well, I think I would encourage people to look at what's available through their work site. I work for the County of La Crosse, and we have a $100 benefit for county employees. If they put the money out, they can get the money reimbursed to them. Some employers who provide health insurance might cover some of the other non-nicotine replacement therapies. There is Zyban, which is medication, and also Chantix. They're not real inexpensive prescriptions, but they have been proven to be very successful in helping people to quit.
La Crosse County health educator Paula Silla talking with Mary Meehan Stroob, director of UW Extension for La Crosse County. Coming up in the next half hour, Danielle Kading has a wide variety of reaction to the potential impact of the new law from bar and hotel owners and La Crosse County Sheriff Steve Helgeson about how smoking complaints may affect law enforcement agencies.
It certainly is a low priority for the Sheriff's Department. Quite honestly, we're not going to go out looking for it, and if their patrons don't contact us and the owners aren't contacting us, we're probably not going to know about it.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page. Again, the address, wpr.org/lacrosse.